This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Ben Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Our special guest tonight is a jazz vocalist all the way from England who started her jazz wanderings when at University College in Cardiff.
I did.
She started working in small bands almost immediately.
I know, a wandering troubadour.
And has not looked back. It's my great pleasure to welcome to the Bent Note studio, Tina May. Welcome.
Thank you. Oh, it's lovely to be here with you.
Oh, it's great to have you here in studio.
You've got two girls here. You've got double
two
trouble.
Two poms, actually.
Two poms, that's right.
Yeah, two English girls. Watch out, David.
I will have to be careful, won't I?
We will Brexit the whole room. Just
oh,
be careful.
Please, not the B word. Not the
right,
B word.
That's it. I won't talk about it again. Traumatising.
But two amazing talents from a jazz perspective. But Tina, was University College your first exposure to jazz?
No, I grew up with it, really. My mum and dad's record collection.
Ah.
We must have been a very noisy household. Mum and dad both played piano. I played clarinet. My sister played fiddle. So we used to have little family bashes.
Oh, I'm so jealous of that. And, so lovely.
Luckily, we only had some sheep around us to annoy, so that was all right.
You could make as much noise as you
exactly.
Like.
So where was this? Where did
this
you...
was in Gloucestershire.
Oh, right.
A little village, Danebury the River in Gloucestershire, and so I suppose we had nobody to annoy really, so that was all right.
What a great way to go!
It was lucky, really. Yeah. But my dad, being Scottish, we had this thing about, you know. Even when I was six, we went up to Scotland and they had Hogmanay parties and you were put to bed, woken up, even like age six, you know, woken up about 11, put your party frock on and everybody had to do a wee turn. You know, you had your party piece.
All right.
And I seem to remember the only thing I knew all the way through was your feet's too big. or Puff the Magic Dragon, which
I think I did. Song.
Yeah, didn't we all? So, and the parties would go on till about 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And very, you know, great fun.
Yeah.
So I got the idea of music was fun.
And that's a good message to get.
I think so, and especially jazz. But I didn't know it was jazz. We had lots of different types of music.
It was just music.
And I just gravitated to the stuff that you could wiggle to and have fun to, you know.
Yeah, the energy of it.
Was that a time where you learnt the instrument formally, or did you just pick it up as you went?
I did learn as soon as it wasn't touching the ground. It was so funny. I was a bit of a, you know, short one. And I had to wait because my fingers didn't properly cover the holes. But I got there, age eight and a bit.
Yeah.
And I used to play along with all the Fats Waller, you know, and because he had a great clarinetist on there. I used to just try and play along with all the big bands. I just thought it was just fun for me.
It's a fantastic way to learn because you're listening.
Well, I think ear.
Yeah.
You know, we're speaking before we can write things down. And it's just good. I would say to all singers, just have a go. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then you realise what you're doing. And
listen to as many things as you can.
Because it is a language.
Yeah,
music.
I agree.
It's just a great language.
And did it just become, or did it sit there as a hobby until you went to the university college?
Well, no, I did all the grades, classical though. But it's funny, isn't it? Because you leap through hoops in life. Because I went to a school where you did classical grades. But when I was a teenager, I joined Gloucestershire Young People's Orchestra, which was a bit of a jazz band. It was quite funny, though. We used to do all sorts of things. I played bass clarinet in that, which was a bit boring, though, because, you know, you get the bass lines, really. So you find to do 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 do. You'd be, oh God! So in the end, I thought, oh, please, can I just go back to the clarinet, please? And then they got some arrangements for singing. I was the only one who fancied having a go.
Oh really?
Yeah. Luckily, wasn't it?
Really? Very lucky.
So I got to do all of them, and then I thought, oh, I quite like this singing luck. I did. I went to Saturday morning doing some sort of technique, I guess, because I knew that I needed to find out how it worked, or at least not hurt myself, because it's very easy to hurt yourself as a singer. So, I mean, and that, and then my dad didn't want me to do music, and I didn't have the energy to fight him, quite frankly. I think he was worried. So what I did was a French degree, but I spent more time in the music department.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was just pig-headed and I was going to do it anyway. So that's what I did, really. And as a French degree, I spent my third year in Paris. And from week one, I was sitting in at jazz clubs, and it was a good time. You know, I got to work with all sorts of people because I knew the repertoire.
Playing and singing it for years.
Well, I'd absorbed it, I think, you know, by some osmosis or something, you know. So
a good way to go.
I sort of feel that the universe will respond to you if you want something enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, you've got to put in the energy, haven't
of course,
you, to get
of course.
Things out.
And make a thorough nuisance of yourself, you know.
Yeah, there's
Can
be,
I sit in? You
there's
know?
Got to be an element of stubbornness to it, you know.
Yeah.
No one's going to come and hand it to you on a platter. You've got to go out of your way a bit.
I remember reading something about Marilyn Monroe saying, yeah, well, lots of other girls really talented, but I wanted it more.
But that is true, I think, isn't it? Because the person who wants it more is going to stand up and be counted, push forward, put their hand up and be seen.
Yeah.
I reckon we should have a listen to a little bit more of your music. The piece that we're going to have a listen to is called My Kind of Love from your 2014 album, which is called My Kind of Love.
Your kind of love keeps me believing, although you're deceiving. My kind of love, one way to paradise. My kind of lips, your kind of lips, when love comes stealing, encourage that feeling. My kind of love, one way to paradise.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
April in Paris, whom can I run to? What have you done to my boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-dee-boop-a-beep-a-dip-a-dee-dee?
Welcome to Hetty Kate's Bent Notes.
2 hours of jazz tonight, courtesy of Hetty Kate. We appreciate your time here tonight, Hetty. And there Rex tells us that we've got another message coming. What have we got, Jet?
We have heard from 317.
Hello, 317.
317 has written in, "Hey, Bent Notes, I'm thoroughly enjoying this interview. Can you ask your lovely guest which artist she would love to have dinner with, living or passed away, and ask them about their work?"
Tina.
Well, now, I think the one I would love to would be Carmen McRae, who is my all-time favourite. No, I mean, no, you can't say all-time favourite, but, I mean, the one who made me want to sing was Ella, when I heard her in Duke Ellington Band and doing the train noises on A-Train. I just got so excited. In fact, apparently, I jumped up and down on the sofa and broke the springs. So it had a lasting effect, actually, in our household. No, but Carmen McRae, I think she was such a fantastic storyteller, and her phrasing, oh, yeah, fantastic. I think on a couple of live albums she does, she also has a filthy laugh.
Oh, she
and
didn't
I like,
take any,
I like
any
that in a,
funny
in a woman.
Business.
I think she had a good time.
Well, it's important to have a good time.
I think so.
Yeah.
She had a good cackle on her.
Oh, she was. There's a fantastic YouTube clip of her. I think she's on Terry Wogan, which is an English show, ladies and gentlemen. And I think she, and she was being asked, you know, back then as a woman, the most inane questions that you can imagine. And she was not having it.
Any of it. She wouldn't have any of it.
She was not. And her face, and I thought, oh, I just want to go back in time and be your friend.
She was wonderful. And there's a bit where it, on this, I think it's Live at the Green Mill, and she was saying, nah, when I came into this business, she said, and she had a really quite deep voice, she said, I was told you got to do medleys. First of all, you got to do medleys. And the other thing, you better never get sick on Saturday night, sweetie, because if you get sick on a Saturday night, you might as well blow your brains out. That's the only excuse the club owner's going to take. She's so funny.
She was brilliant. But
what a wonderful singer. So, yeah, I would love to have... I think a night out with Carmen would have been a bit of a fun evening.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you for answering that question and helping 317 there with an answer. You've been working for a number of years and you've come over to visit Australia. Is this your first time in Australia?
It's not, but I haven't been here for 25 years.
Oh, well, welcome back.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Hasn't changed a bit.
Oh, I love Melbourne. There's such a great vibe in Melbourne. It's lovely.
Yeah. And lots of jazz clubs.
Yeah.
And you're performing specifically while you're out here over the next couple of weeks.
I am.
And I noticed that there's, I think it's 4 gigs and they're all themed.
They are, because, I'm, you know, one's called Berlin, Paris, Broadway. And it's really to sort of say, well, you know, jazz is at least 100 years old now. And there was an interesting development, obviously, that happened. People coming from Russia, Berlin, people like Kurt Weill, who had an incredible, you know, entry, having one career in Berlin, having to escape the Nazis, go to Paris, having to escape again and go a bit further and ending up across the pond on Broadway. And he wasn't alone. You know, the Gershowitzes, a.k.a. Gershwins, did a similar thing. So many people had that incredible experience of going from one part of the globe, ending up in Broadway. And it was an incredible melting pot. So I sort of, you know, tell some stories about the songwriters and the songs. And so that's one of the shows, A Jazz Journey, I call it, Berlin, Paris, Broadway. And then I do... one for Bastille Day at the Paris Cat.
Oh, very good.
Which is wonderful because I love Paris and I love cats.
And this is actually Bastille Day that
is
next Sunday.
It is, le 14 juillet.
14th of July.
So come and be part of it. And so anyway, so I tell about the songs and her life. And I don't worry, I don't sound like her. I mean, I'd need a lot of surgery to sound like her. I sort of get... Under her skin a bit and inhabit the songs.
Reality is that we want to hear your interpretations of the songs.
Yeah.
Because we can go back to the recordings of any other artist around
PF
the place.
Was PF and there'll never be another PF. And there was a Judy Garland-ism, and she says you better be an original rather than a second-rate version of someone else. So, but the thing is, you've got to do it with integrity. And the reason I do that show at all is because I just love the songs and the songwriters and the stories. And, for instance, there were things like, you know, a lot of people don't know, she wrote La Vie en Rose.
Yes.
Words did. And music, but at the time...
And she wrote the music as well.
Yeah, but at the time, if to get full publishing rights, she'd have had to set an exam. This is French, very French, l'administration française. You had to be part of SACEM. And to this day, you still have to sit an exam. Whereas in England, you just have to have proof that you've did it and record it and present your manuscript, blah, blah, blah. No. So she was very generous and she said, well, okay, you share it with me. Louis Guy was already in the SACEM. Mm, mm, mm. So her biggest hit, she shared. And things like Autumn Leaves. Johnny Mercer, of course, did the English lyric. It was so crazy. He had 48 hours to come up with a lyric. He left it... pinned to his front door without the verse. Oh. And that is the only reason Sinatra, Ella, everybody never sang the verse. So I reinstate the verse. There's a further story. Joseph Cosma and Jacques Prévert, the great poet, wanted the biggest star of all time at that time to sing it, and it was Marlene Dietrich.
And Marlena said, no, give it to Piaf.
And Piaf, who did not like anyone's cast-off, said, no, well, all right. But, you know, she did a cursory recording of it. But she said, no, I know who needs to sing this. And it was her current boyfriend, Yves Montand. And it made his career. So there's lots of stories about who wrote what and how, and I find that fascinating, and I hope the audience do too.
Oh, I'm sure they will. It's always interesting to hear the stories behind the songs. Yeah. Mm. Just at the movies, which you're doing down at the Lido.
Yes.
Yes, that is there, yeah. Golden Age of Hollywood.
Exactly.
What type of songs are you going to put in there?
Well, everything from, actually you played one of the songs, Smile, by Charlie Chaplin.
That's such a beautiful song.
Which is from Modern Times, you know, which was a wonderful movie. Everything from Les Parapluies de Cherbourg, you know, Michel Legrand. I mean, often the best things in a movie, or the things that you remember, are the songs. So I will do, for instance, one of my other heroines is Marilyn Monroe's versions of things from Some Like It Hot. Or Certaines L'Aime Chaud, as the French call it. And, I mean, it's so fantastic. So, yeah, so, yes, Kurt Weill, you know, you name it. I will be sharing my favourites, basically.
Sounds fantastic, Tina. Tina, thank you so much for joining us here on Bent Notes tonight. It's been great to have you in
studio. Thanks for having me.
Joining here with Hetty.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to meet you. I'm so sad I won't be able to come and see you, but we're going to catch up in London. I'm going to hold you to it.
We are. We're going to have a pork pie together, aren't we?
Yes, pork pies and a cup of tea.
That sounds like a great way to go.
Yes, you're invited as well, if you like. Please come over.
Okay, I'll see what I'm doing on that day. Thank you so much for joining us here on Bent Notes tonight, Tina. You're listening to Hetty Kate's Bent Notes on Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's lovable radio station. Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.